Welcome to Intellectual Intimacy, where we're having deep conversations with extraordinary people. This is Cabrina McLean, your host. And on this episode, we're talking to someone that's near and dear to my heart, my cousin, Marcus Quinn Noel. He is a business owner, father, husband, and a Black man who is proud of his Blackness. Let's learn what made him become a business owner and a little bit about who he is as a man. Here's my conversation with Marcus Quinn Noel. So Marcus, let's get right to it. Can you tell us what made you decide to go into business for yourself, to work for yourself?
I went to high school at City College, which I'm, of course, all my City Knights. All of us are proud of that. I went from City to Bowie State University, where I played football for 4 years. I graduated with a degree in business, concentration in marketing. Anything that I wanted to actually be the whole time, except for maybe a football player. And I didn't really have a, like, you know, I'd be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't have that answer figured out even all the way through college. So what made me kind of get into business for myself is I got out of college and my unemployment ran out. And I took a job at MBNA America, and that was in Hunt Valley. And I worked there until I couldn't take it anymore. Like the corporate atmosphere, it was fine. You know, it was a lot of how are you, very well, you know, this and that. But it just didn't feel like I was going to get rewarded for my effort completely. So no matter how hard I worked, it didn't matter how many hands I shook, I felt like my income was going to be fixed and I wasn't going to be able to be somebody, you know, that had freedom and could make more money based on effort. So I just quit one day.
Wow. Okay.
And it's funny because when I quit, I happened to quit while my wife was pregnant, which wasn't, she wasn't my wife at the time, but I just, you know, I just up and said, all right, I'm not doing it anymore. And I went and did mortgages and I made some money the first month and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I've been doing that ever since. But I never intended to work for anybody. I just needed to get the experience of work. And I've been working since I was 15. So, you know, I didn't mind working. I like working, but I wanted to be paid properly. That's all.
I meet so many people, you know, what you and I have in common is that we have that hunger, you know, that beast in us to always want to do more, right? And I meet so many people that are okay making the same income for like 10 years or 15 years. So when you say hunger, is it that you had a goal in mind of how much money you wanted to make, or was
it was more about feeling like whoever I worked for got much more out of the deal than I did. And it also felt like because there were rules and scripts and certain hours that they thought were where I needed to work and things like that they weren't really fully utilizing my potential. I felt like I had more to give than what they wanted from me, even though I was giving them exactly what they wanted. So, you know, I think there's a creative side to everybody that usually doesn't get tapped into, especially if you're just doing what somebody else wants you to do. And, you know, it's funny you talk about being like self-employed. And I was listening to something recently that talked about the difference. And a lot of people think they're entrepreneurs, but really they're just self-employed, you know, and there is a difference there, you know. When you're self-employed, you are the business, you know. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done usually, you know. An entrepreneur, it's running on its own and you've invested in it and that's one of the ways that you make money, you know. So I've been pretty much a self-employed person. I can't step away from my mortgage business at this point, and it continue to just work. Okay. You know, yep. I have to do the work in order to make the money. So I do get to make my own hours and work as hard or as, you know, little as I want, but it's not, you know, I'm not a true entrepreneur, which is the next step for me. I want to have, you know, some other options that are making me money while I'm not doing it, you know, some true investments. Yeah, some true businesses that can run themselves and I just oversee.
That's great. That's always having the next plan. So I want to connect to that. And can you tell us the name of your business and the services you provide?
Right. So I am a loan officer, a mortgage banker, for NFM Lending. I work in a branch of NFM Lending. It's kind of like a franchise. So that's what I do, which is provide financing for people who are looking to purchase a residential property or refinance a residential property. We don't do commercial loans, but everything residential we do. And we're a lender, which means we lend our own money. And we have in-house everything from processing to underwriting to servicing. So it's all like a one-stop shop. And most of my clients are people who are buying houses and real estate agents. So the real estate agents are the people that I'm catering to. They bring me business. I share business with them. But for the most part, I take care of my realtor partners and provide their customers with financial options for purchasing homes.
That's great. And what state does it reside in?
The corporate office is in Maryland, in Lithicum. We service 36 of the 50 states.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yep.
And yeah, so within that business, can you share with us what's really rewarding about it and what can be challenging?
There are a lot of challenges. The most rewarding thing for me, and this is just, I think also being a black man, is that I know that financial literacy isn't something that was stressed or taught coming up. Mm-hmm. You knew people had money and had things. You never knew how.
Yep.
You know, it's just like they had them. It's like, why do they have them? Why don't I have them? So learning the game, the financial game, which is largely based on, you know, the housing market or having assets, is something that I thoroughly enjoy. The other part is getting people, you know, a home. So mm-hmm. whether it's their first home, second home, you know, retirement home, I know after I'm done with them that they're better off than before I met them.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It allows me to sleep well, you know, mm-hmm. When things don't go well, which is rare, you know, I lose sleep. So I know that I still have a passion to get people there. And I know what it does from buying a house myself. Once you buy a house, it gives you a certain, you know, foothold in the community and in life that I think propels you to do other things, because it's such a major purchase and it opens up financial doors that I know when I do that, even if they don't know at the time when they're doing it, but after the fact, they're going to come back. I get it. You know, I know what an asset is. I know what equity is. I understand, you know, why it was important for me to own a house and not rent. And I like opening people's eyes in that way.
That's great. And if you can remember, who was your youngest client? Do you know who your youngest client was?
My youngest client. I just did a loan for a family member that is 20. How old is he? I'm going to say my youngest client in my life was probably 23.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
23.
That's pretty cool.
Hopefully my daughter will break that record. I told her that's the plan. So she's saving for a house right now. I want her to have a house before she graduates college, even if she doesn't live in it, you know, to have one. So if it's a small row home in Baltimore and I have to help her get it, it's going to be hers and she can run it and manage it. And that's the plan.
That's smart. And here's why I asked you that is, you know, I met this guy once who did exactly what you're doing for your daughter. He buys homes like near colleges, you know, and then he told his children, you know, when you're in college, you're going to own your own home. So, you know, get ready, you know, to be a homeowner. And I read that a lot of millennials are afraid to buy because there's so much instability in the world today. So, you know, they're selling for renters. So for anybody out there that's been apprehensive, you know, just it's never too early. So jump on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Right. Okay. And now, you know, and also just on a side note, your wife is a business owner as well. So I didn't even think about this to just now. Do you mind just sharing her business?
No. So my wife, Trishawn, is she's a professional hairstylist.
Okay.
And she has her own salon, and she originally started off as an MTA bus driver. Well, she started off as a hairstylist, but she decided to be a bus driver, you know, for, you know, to create some stability.
Yeah.
And then when her and I got together, I didn't like the bus for her, and it seemed a little too stressful, and I felt like it was, you know, dangerous some even. So I told her she needed to stop that and do something else, and she went back to doing hair, and she's creative, so that's her creative side, and it helps when somebody else has to get up and, you know, get it out of the mud, so to speak, with you, because there's an understanding there that, you know, we're making money, not like depending on somebody to make us money. So that same mindset and understanding of the hustle and bustle of it helps.
Yes,
now, sometimes we're like ships passing in the night sometimes, but at the same time, you know, when you go to talk to somebody, there's a similarity there that, you know, that gives you something in common. I couldn't imagine if she had a 9-to-5, but the conversation would be completely different because once you're fixed into a certain income, if that income isn't good enough, there's nowhere to go, you know, so that's the issue for me with that.
No, that's really cool. That's really cool because we know you as a businessman. We know that you're doing something that's actually changing communities and changing people's lives. So that's why I wanted to shift a little bit and just kind of find out about you as, you know, as a family man. And then I recall not too long ago seeing photos of you and your son. Are you training him? Is he training something?
Well, yeah, he's my son. Like, of course, I was an athlete when I was young, so that's kind of like a natural thing. You know, our family have a lot of people who are athletes and accomplished athletes. So, you know, being athletic is something that that we take pride in, staying in shape and, you know, just doing something physical just for the lessons for me. So as a young kid, I put both my daughters and my son in sports for the lessons, not so that they could be some great athlete.
Okay.
And it also, these days we spend so much time in the house that I didn't want my kid to be completely engulfed, you know, by media and by games and, you know, those kinds of distractions. So the sports is a big thing. So I coached him in football when he was young, from like 6 to 9. Then he stopped and he wanted to play basketball after that. Well, not after that. He played AAU basketball for Team Thrill. And one day, about, I guess it was about 2 months ago, he came down the stairs and said he wanted to play football again. Since football is the sport that I played in college, and he wanted to play my position. So I thought we were done with that part of our life. But he wanted to do it, and he said he was serious about it. So I actually put him in contact with somebody who I know, you know, does that and trains, a guy named Mark Lester, and he's awesome at it. So I put him in with Mark, and I'll take him out there. So sometimes when you see me, I guess, like putting a picture up or a video, that's just me getting a couple videos or whatever for him so that I can show him later on, look, like, this is where you started, this is where we're going. But the sports thing for me, and I've coached sports for years, coached football, but I played, you know, just about every sport coming up. And it's really for me about that lesson of getting out what you put in. And, you know, so much now people want to be stars and this, that, and the other. Well, that's not usually going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the lesson learned in sports is, you know, you get it, you get out what you put in, and you're not going to always win, but you're still going to always have to play. You know, you're going to always have to try hard. You're going to always have to overcome adversity. You know, you're going to cry to you know, to keep going, not cry to quit. So that's the, you know, that's the message that you get, that I think if you don't play sports, you never, you get so much later in life that it may, you know, may hurt you.
I got it. Absolutely. No, that's good. So now I'm going to ask you something, and if you got a pause to tell me, of course, take your time.
Sure.
But I wanted to know if you had to describe yourself, what three words would you use to describe your, who is Marcus Quinn Noel? What three words would you use to describe yourself?
Who am I?
Yes.
Okay. I believe the first thing that comes to my mind, is who am I? I am my parents' son. Like I am a reflection of my family and my family members. I'm honest. I care about the community, especially my community, you know, my immediate community. And I think thinking about who I am is a, I don't know if it's for me to say, but I guess I'm, I don't want to say, I guess the word passionate is probably overused so much, but I am a determined, person, and I am a, I consider myself an intellect. Like, I consider myself a person who thinks, you know, probably too much, but I'm going to think about it. You know, I'm not, I'm going to do my best to, like, not be irrational and make sure that whatever I do makes sense for everybody that, you know, is connected to me. I'm not all men, of course, can be selfish, but it's not in my nature to just worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, a big part of who I am, which can be a problem. Like, it can be a, you know, it can be a draining thing to be somebody that people can come to, you know, even if it's just for advice or to talk or to get this or to find this or, you know, connect with that. But I do, that is who I am. I am, you know, like, I am a big middleman, you know, between what people, you know, don't have and maybe want. And I'm fine with that. But I will say I'm not exactly what I want to be, but I am headed towards something that I want to be. You know, I'm constantly working on trying to be something, you know, better than I am.
Wow. So when I asked you, it was so fun. It was like, it was incredible how I could feel you thinking through the process. And the more you were talking, the more momentum you were getting, you know?
Because it's not something that you think about, you know, when you say, you know, and it's funny because it's now that I'm thinking about it, that's something I need to sit down and think about. Like, me saying that I'm a thinker, like, who am I really? Because it's so complicated, you know?
Yeah.
And like when you called me and you were saying, you know, my whole family calls me Quinn. But most people that know me from school or work, they call me Marcus. And Quinn and Marcus they're one person, but
how are they
not
different?
The same, you know, they're not the same person. And that sounds crazy, but, you know,
okay.
We all have I guess, not an alter ego, but we all have a certain persona where people expect certain things of you and don't know. But once people get to know, if you start off knowing me on a professional level, I'm too honest for you not to end up knowing me on a personal level because I don't care about the truth as long as it's my truth. So I'll tell you, you know, so You know, so that's, I think it ends up being a thing where you end up morphing into, you know, your true self if you're being honest, you know, and that's the, if you can't be honest with people, people can feel it. And I don't know how, you know, how legitimate that interaction can be.
Absolutely. Especially in the business that you're in. So you're is the business side Marcus and the personal side Quinn?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's, at least that's how I it ends up coming off. Like right now I'm talking to you as Marcus, and I don't want to sound like I'm crazy, but your cousin Quinn is a different person. You know, when I say he's a different person, I mean he's going to say certain things to certain things that I wouldn't say in, you know, in a public forum. But at the end of the day, if you ask me the question, I'm going to give you the answer. So all the answers I'm giving are my answers and me. But, you know.
I get it. No, I get it. I get it. Because I have a silly side and a serious side. And for me, people need to earn, they have to earn that silly side from me. You know, I have to trust people, you know, to share the silly part. So I get it, you know.
And that's where, and see, I'm a little easier to get to whatever side you want to know. If I feel like that's what you want to know, you know.
So
if you, you know, we can go right and get right to it if that's what you want to do.
So you mirror your audience. You just, that's it. And then.
Yeah, I'm me all the time. I don't, you know, like even, you know, in my industry, it's predominantly white, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I'm always me. I'm always black and proud of it and happy about it, right?
Yep.
So I don't have any problem, you know, with that, with my, you know, with my white friends. They know what they're dealing with when they, you know, when we start interacting. So that's another thing. And that's how it is in business too. So I'm not one to hold my tongue as far as, you know, my opinion or whatever. I try to keep things, of course, business. But at the same time, my feelings are my feelings. And that's a benefit of being self-employed and, you know, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do, and neither do they.
Yep. My last question is, what does it mean to be black? Because you were talking about black pride. What does it mean?
Wow, that's okay. Yeah. So that's a lot to unpack. But what I'll say is this.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I had a family friend, which he was like a godfather who lived across the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he used to take us bowling down at Pennsylvania Avenue and what is it called? Shake and Bake. Take us down to Shake and Bake when it first opened. He's a bowler. We bowl, kids bowl. And he's a really dark guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes his kids would tease him like, oh, daddy, black, and you know, mess with him or whatever because they're not as dark as him. And he would go into this song about how he gets tired of a lot of things, but he never gets tired of being this black, you know? So in this song, he'd make the song up as we rode along. He's like, he get tired of making a bunch of money, get tired of all the girls liking him. But he never get tired of being black, and he, of course, he was instilling a sense of pride in being black. But that always rung in my head, and I am not one of those black people who is who wants people to, I guess, think about how hard it is for me to be black. I don't want people to, oh, it must be terrible. Yeah, all that and all that. But at the same time, I wouldn't have it any other way. I dig it. I understand the history of it. You know, we've got, you know, of course, some Black Panthers and other things in our family. And, you know, historically, being educated on what black people are and our history is something that I grew up in. Right. So my upbringing from being young and maybe going to some private schools, but then returning to, like, you know, Holbrook and Huffman or Preston and Gay or Park Heights in the, you know, in the interim is like a unique journey. So I'm competing with lawyers and doctors, kids in the daytime. And then I'm running through, you know, garbage filled alleys, you know, mm-hmm. on the weekend. So mm-hmm. I'm unique in my black experience in that way. But being mm-hmm. black is something that I hope. I know it's a lot going on in the country, but I hope that, and I know people are very proud to be black, and mm-hmm. But I hope people understand the power of being, you know, a melanated person and a person that has had to go through struggles. You know, mm-hmm. it goes back around to that, like to the sports thing. The adversity of being black gives you certain advantages that you could get no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm happy that things aren't equal, you know, mm-hmm. in all ways, but I'm not bothered by the whole underdog portion of being black. I embrace that, and mm-hmm. I use that to my advantage, because, you know, I think Malcolm X said that the great advantage is that, you know, people will always underestimate the quality of your mind. Mm-hmm. And when they underestimate the quality of my mind, that's on them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's mm-hmm. completely on them. And they have to own that, you know, and I don't, I'm happy to have them underestimate that. I don't need to, you know, prove anything to anybody. I just need to be me and do my thing. And if you love me, you love me. And I can love you back. But if mm-hmm. you don't, hey, I'm not the best enemy to have either. So, you know, I'm cool with it. However anybody wants to, you know, view that part of me. I don't walk around thinking about how black I am, but I do understand our, you know, the struggle that we have and the reality of things. And I embrace that. I enjoy it. And, that's what being black is about. You know, that whole thing, and knowing the truth. The truth is what's really a big deal to me. You know, I want the truth to be taught in schools. I want the truth to be, you know, acknowledged by people who don't know it or don't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need to push for when it comes to, you know, our identity in the country is, if we push for the truth is like a lion. All you got to do is unlock the cage and mm-hmm. let it out. It'll defend itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about unlocking that truth and letting everybody see it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the truth is ugly, but most of the truth for black people is beautiful. So,
yes.
you know, don't lie on me. That's all. Let the truth be told, and we can deal with that.
Yes. I mean, this period of time is needed. It's you know, a lot of people are freaking out, but it's something that is going to shift, you know, the way we see things. There are people that are having discussions within the black community that never had, you know, the discussions, you know, prior to that.
We've got some house cleaning to do. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's a lot to celebrate too. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So
You're missing out if you're not celebrating that part. You know, if all you can think about is being harassed by cops and, you know, and how, you know, unequal pay and all that stuff. If that's all you had, if that's all you're getting out of being black, you're missing the boat. You know, that's what I'm mm-hmm. saying. Like it's a wonderful privilege to be born black.
Wow. So I got a little knowledge from Marcus and Quinn that time. So
they all mixed in there.
So my last question to you is, how can we get in contact with you if we want to buy our, you know, our first home or our vacation home, like you said? How can we reach you?
Well, I am I'm on all the social media platforms. You can just put my name in, Marcus Knoll. It's Quinn Must Lend on Instagram. It's Marcus Knoll Homes on Facebook, or just my name. And of course, you can call me. You can call me 443-676-6328 is my cell number. I'm working from home.
Play that slow for us. You said that really fast.
Yeah, I talk fast sometimes. 443-676-6328. And I've got a website and all that stuff that's available to you. So a secure way of applying. I work with literally most of the best agents in the state of Maryland as far as real estate goes. So I'm like a one-stop shop, and if people need to buy a home or refinance their home, reach out to me. I'll give it to you straight, let you know exactly where you are, and put you in contact with anybody that needs to help you.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. It's been too long, you know.
Great.
Yep. So, we got to get together soon or something.
We have to. So, you know, I love you and thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Love you too. Bye.
All right. Bye.